Well, good afternoon once again to the Mike Wilson Show on WWGH. And I am expecting Fred Malone in any time now. He, I'm sure, is on his way here. He's my guest tonight. But in the meantime, let's talk about a few of the goings-on, some public service announcements in the area. First of all, the Vietnam Veterans of America Chapter 1117 have a breakfast the last Saturday of the month. The last from 7:30 to 10:30, and that is at VFW Post 7201. That's a 1614 Marion and Marysville Road, and it is open to the public. So keep that in mind. The last Saturday of the month is coming up, well, this coming Saturday. So keep that in mind. And also the Mid-Ohio Food Bank, in partnership with Logos Christian Ministries, have a free produce market the second Saturday of every month, and that goes from 12 p.m. till 2 at the Logos Christian Ministries, 582 Lee Street in Marion. There's free fresh food to local individuals and families in need. No appointment, pre-registration, or paperwork is required. Individuals simply will be asked to sign in at the produce market and provide name and number of people in their family. And you must be income eligible. So that is at the Logos Christian Ministries, 582 Lee Street in Marion. That's the second Saturday of every month from 12 to 2. So keep that in mind if you are and needed some help. Got to tell you, I've got bronchitis, and I'm working on getting over it. But when I got in front of the microphone, it seemed to kick in. So bear with me, folks. And there is a neighborhood supper. It's a free meal the second Tuesday of each month at 5:15. That's a Trinity Baptist Church at 244 South Main. At the rear entrance, there's a an alley right behind there in a big parking lot. Very easy access, the backside of the Trinity Baptist Church. And that is, let's see, the next one will be January 14th. So keep that in mind. Free meal at the Trinity Baptist Church the second Tuesday of the month. Again, the next one will be January 14th. So, folks, keep that in mind. Free food, you can't beat that. And I have another one here. Fly the Coliseum. Now, I haven't read this one ahead of time, so I'm going to read it to you for my first time. Marion Area Foils welcomes you to fly with us. The following dates are for flying small remote control airplanes and drones in the Marion Fairgrounds Coliseum. If you will be attending, please notify Kevin or Mike at the emails below so that we have an accurate number of who will be attending. Members often bring food to share with everyone, so if you want to bring food, please let us know what you will be bringing so everyone doesn't bring potato chips. That's my thing to bring to things like that. And they will, the next one will be December 29th. So that's coming up here this weekend. So keep that in mind. The time is the same for all dates, 5 p.m. till 8 p.m. The cost for using the Coliseum is the same as last year, so the cost to fly will remain... Excuse me. Excuse me. Okay, now you got your share of coughing on the air. The same as last year, $15 per date per person. If you have enough people flying, the cost could go down. So the more the merrier. You do not have to be a member of the Marion Airfoils to fly at these events, but you do have to follow the rules that we have put in place for your safety. And I'll give you a couple of the emails if you are interested. Get ready with a pen and pencil or something there to write with. President is Kevin Ivanowski, and that is at evanoski@gmail.com. That's the president. Or the vice president is Greg Briley at gregbriley5@gmail.com. And that is spelled GREGBRILEY 5, the number 5, at gmail.com. So that's something to look forward to if you like to to fly remote control airplanes or drones. That would have to be fun in the Coliseum out there at the fairgrounds. Terry Tackett came in here to join me. Not sure where Fred is. Excuse me. You might have to do some talking here, buddy.
I see that.
I'm taking medication, but the cough's still with me. I don't know. We got Christmas coming up here. We had a big Christmas party here last Thursday night.
Yep.
I hope that a lot of our listeners got to hear
some of the shenanigans.
Right. I hope that they had as much fun as we did
in
presenting it. Charlie was here. We had Mary Ellen Withrow. You know,
but before we go any further, Mike, on that, if it's okay, I just wanted to give a few big thank yous to that. Some people that really helped the thing be a success, and that was number one, obviously, Domino's Pizza.
Oh, sure.
Domino's was a very good supporter in that. And number two is not a new business, but fairly new to me. I mean, if my first dealings with them, and they've been absolutely fabulous, has been Promo Costumes.
Oh, yes, yes.
Nice local business.
Well, sometimes when Santa comes into town, he needs to have a local outlet for a costume.
Yeah.
And that night, that was Santa's outlet.
Yeah.
They provided his clothing that night.
Yeah.
Sometimes more convenient for Santa that way, so he doesn't have to carry a big suitcase.
Every town he goes to, he can get a fresh, you know. And
sure.
when he comes to this town, that's the fresh outfit he can get from, you know, is from Promo Costumes.
Okay, where are they located again?
They are located, I believe, right here on West Center Street.
Okay.
I'm not sure their address. They're across from the Midway Tavern there. Kind of catty corner from the Midway there. But
and so they were very generous
very,
in providing
very generous.
That.
Dan was a great guy. We emailed back and forth. He's a great guy to work with. So I just wanted to give out those two big kudos and big thank yous to those two people. So if you need pizza this holiday season, I know you don't want to cook, you know.
So there's a couple places.
Thanks, Domino's.
If you're near one of those businesses, stop in and tell them that you heard about them on WWGH. You know, they would appreciate it.
Yeah.
And give them some business if you need a costume or if you need pizza.
Yeah.
So maybe you need both for the event you're going to. Yeah. I don't know. But there are two good outlets right there. Yeah.
Thanks for, you know, being supporters of our event.
So Terry, I talked to Fred earlier today, and he said he was going to be here, so I don't know what exactly has happened.
That's the only downfall this time of year about doing a show around the holidays.
Yeah.
Is even though, you know, you have no play, you know, something could come up at the last minute, you know, I mean.
And I do have my phone on next to me, folks, so if you do hear a phone ringing, it might be Fred calling in, so we're keeping an eye on that.
Anything could happen, like I say, but it's one of those things that. You know, that's why I always, I'm not saying I don't like to do shows around the holidays. It's just that, you know, I just.
It's not always predictable this time of year, that's for sure.
You know, it's harder to get guests, obviously. It's harder to, you know, there's just a million, your time, there's a million and one things going on.
Fred's a good friend of mine. He's quite reliable, so I'm sure that there's something,
you know, maybe,
something going on out there. I don't know what.
You know, is he fully recovered from his sickness? You know, I mean.
Yeah.
I know
he was on with Charlie last week, I believe. So. He's always
like sometimes a scheduling conflict. It's kind of a crapshoot, you know, this close to the holidays. You just never know when. Like I say, something unexpected is going to come up. I mean,
yeah, you never know.
So
what are some traditions you and your family have around Christmas time?
You know, that's a good one because a lot of them, I don't know. I spoke a little bit on it earlier on at our Christmas party, but one thing when I was younger that I used to always love was. We would always, like, around our doorway and things like this, we would always put, like,
the garland.
Yeah. Stuff. I mean, just our house was all decorative, and it was just a nice feeling, you know. And we would all put different ornaments on the tree, and all the ornaments had, like, some of them had sentimental value to us. And, you know, maybe you got them at a school bazaar or something, and I know a couple of them we made, and, you know.
Sure.
Just, you know, things like that, and we just always saved them. You know, over time. And
well, those are an important part of our Christmas. I mean, reminiscing and thinking about back then, Christmas past is always important to us.
Back then, we didn't have a tree that was pre-lit, so you had to, you know, you had to basically start from scratch and lights and garland and icicles, and my mom liked that snow stuff in a can. And we always saved the very last for her at the top, because she always had this angel that she really, really... So she would always, that was the last thing that got plugged in was the angel. And, you know, of course, back then you didn't really care, you know, if you had a million, you didn't care what, you know, because you like to be festive and display the lights and the, you know. And
yeah, we all, well, most, up until the early 80s, we always had a live tree at when I was growing up. Okay. And we, of course, my sister and I had things that we had made over the years. We had some things that belonged to our great-grandparents on our tree. And as a matter of fact, we have a set of bubble lights, probably, I'm going to guess, from the 1940s or 50s that belong to my great-grandparents. Okay. I have them now. They still work. Okay. They're still in the original box.
Wow.
Probably worth some money, but I wouldn't part with them. I remember when my sister and I were little, sometimes we would hear Santa Claus ringing bells outside when he delivered the presents, so we knew that Santa had been there. In our house, we both slept upstairs and the bathroom was downstairs, so I always had to go to the bathroom, you know, part way through the night, just conveniently. The lights weren't on, but I could see there was something there.
Well, it's like me, I was always the one that got up early. Mm-hmm. You know, just for that same reason. You know, and then what I would do is try to be as quiet as I could, and I'd go get my younger sister. Come on. You know,
get everybody in trouble,
So we together, you know, but that's what I liked about it, is it was just basically me, my mom, and my two sisters. And we didn't, like I say, we didn't have a whole lot, but we were close. You know, then, I mean, we had our own little dinner, and we had our own little, you know, and it was just us, and it was great.
Yep, a lot of tradition goes into Christmases nowadays.
You know, it was one of my mom's favorite holidays. She always loved it. You know, mm-hmm. She loved all the presents and the, you know, and just the closeness of family, you know, and stuff. And
Santa always, among other things, always brought me new underwear. My least favorite gift, but I guess it was needed.
Yeah. Well, I know for years, I had an aunt and uncle in New Jersey, which was my mom's brother-in-law or sister and brother-in-law, and every year, I think for like 5 years in a row, pajamas every year in a row. But it was so neat because they always took care of my mom too, no matter what. They always made sure to give her a little something, mm-hmm. you know, and it wasn't a lot, but at the time, boy, it was really, really needed, you know, and it helped us out tremendously.
Another tradition we had when I was growing up was, well, I'm from in the country, on the other side of Mount Gilead in Morrow County. So, you know, we'd come to the big city of Marion. But
the big budding metropolis.
The big thing was to get in the car and go see everybody's Christmas lights.
Uh-huh.
And that was a big thing up until the energy crisis of the 1970s. And Dad would always take us out to see the lights in Mount Gilead, and over here usually in Marion, sometimes Galleon. And when the energy crisis hit, people stopped decorating so much, I think, to save on electricity,
right.
Obviously.
Yeah.
And I don't think that we've ever completely geared back up from that.
Yeah,
I've seen some wonderful displays out there, and I heard Scott talking about some of those. I think it was last Wednesday. He was talking about some of the displays out there, but it's nothing like it used to be.
No.
And there used to be a man someplace off of Mount Vernon Avenue over there that had a Santa on a rocket, from what I remember. And I wonder whatever happened to that rocket. That was one of the big displays we used to enjoy seeing. And then there was a place over in Green Camp that every holiday, not just Christmas, but Easter, Halloween, well, those three anyhow, they would do their whole yard up, and they had a shed out back, and we'd go see them on Christmas. They had some really good displays over there.
I know the later part here, as I became older, I worked over in Mansfield, and I know I used to go by this one particular county road in Galleon, and this guy always had his house. I mean, so I found myself actually this time of year leaving a little earlier just so I could stop and just look at his, you know. I mean, I caught myself several times just looking at his, like, because his house was, like, from the road all the way back was just nothing. His whole yard was just nothing but lights everywhere, and he had Santa Clauses and just everything you could imagine.
I've noticed some of those over around Galleon. There are some right there on 309. Coming from Marion, going by the bowling alley out that way, some beautiful ones. You know what, Terry? Something I think we should do next year.
What's that?
WWGH should put on a decorating contest and see if maybe we can get some sponsors, come up with some prizes for some outstanding decorated
like
houses.
Like a Griswold type.
Yeah. Maybe not to that extent, but it could be.
Yeah. Well, maybe give it a theme, too.
Yeah. So maybe we could kick that around and come up with something by next Christmas.
You know, maybe call it a theme of, you know, maybe like a Santa Claus is coming to town or something like that.
Sure.
You know, and just, you know, give it a...
Well, let's... Yeah. We'll put our heads together and
see what we can do.
If listeners have ideas, you know, call in, let us know.
Yeah.
Maybe we can do something like that.
Sure. That'd be a great idea.
Kick up the decorating in
just
Marion.
Get people maybe back in the spirit of doing it again. You
sure.
Know,
and, yeah, I think the energy crisis put a damper on it back in the 70s, and we never quite gotten geared back up to where we used to be.
So,
shopping. Shopping habits have changed a lot since I was growing up. We'd come to Penny's and Sears and all those kind of stores in Marion. Now you go to Walmart and Myers for the most part.
Well, if you're going to shop, a lot of people, though, just use their laptop now, and it's Amazon. Well,
that's true. That's true.
Or, you know, or something like that. I know I talked to a lady at work, and I was totally, I shouldn't say totally blown away, but for me, you got to remember, I'm one of the last people that converted over to a smartphone, so I'm still as old-fashioned as you can get. But she told me this, and it blew me away. She hasn't been to a mall to shop in 10 years.
Oh, my.
It's been all exclusively online.
Okay. Nothing wrong with that. But I still believe in supporting our local businesses. And right downtown Marion here, I don't have a list in front of me, but there are some wonderful gift providers in our town.
Yeah.
Just walk down. Downtown Marion is a treasure.
Mm-hmm. They got pretty much whatever you're looking for. I mean, you know, as far as that goes. If you got tough people to get something for, I mean, I'm sure they would have... You know what you're looking for, but she said that, and I was blown away, and I thought, well, this is maybe just a kind of an isolated thing. So I started kind of bantering the question around, and I was surprised the number of people I got that basically said the same thing.
Yeah.
And I thought, are you kidding? What
happened?
Well,
that's common now. That's a thing to do for a lot of people. Myself, I'm more of a go into the store and see it and touch it and. That's my preference.
I know a lot of people you talk to now, it's a lot of people have these phobias about people. They don't want to be around people.
Well, I can understand that.
I'm the opposite, though. I mean, I don't mind being around, but some of these people, they don't want to be around people. They just, you know, or maybe, you know, their lifestyle, it's just more accommodating. You know, if you're busy and everything, and it's just easier to order it, pay for it, have it delivered, and be done with it.
Yeah, but shopping's really changed, hasn't it?
It has. Yeah. You know, and I think a lot of what people, well, I don't know how to word this, but a lot of what people are buying now, the buying habits have changed.
Well, sure.
You know, of course, now with the advent of all your technology and all that stuff and everything, and I mean, back in the days, you know, you were content, you know, if you were a kid of maybe getting, I don't know, you know, something like a, you know, like, for example, like a basketball or something. Now you want the latest and greatest video game.
A Tonka truck for me was a thrill. I still have mine, but
you know?
Yes.
I mean, and I'm not saying it's that kids still don't do that, but it's just there's less of that now than.
Yeah, they'd rather sit in front of their computer quite often. Not all, but quite often, and play their games and so on.
I think once again, though, you can relate that back to people, you know. I mean, I see it a lot of times in the summertime. A lot of times in the summertime, I can remember, you know, the place to be when I was younger was you always went to, like, the ball fields or whatever.
Right.
Well, now you're lucky to find anybody. I mean, there's still a few people, but for the most part, I mean, you know, now people are more, you know, they're camping and vacations, and they're doing experiences now rather than, you know, things like that. Because a good friend of mine had told me a couple of weeks ago, and I think I've told this story numerous times, but he told me now that if you're in a business like that, an industry like that that relies on things like that, you got to change your strategy. Because he had to. This guy, what this guy did was he promoted several events, you know, not just, I mean, he did everything from concerts to you name it, you know. Mm-hmm. And he said he had to totally change his style because of the new,
sure,
you know, the new thing. So he said now the main thing you want to do is you want to see, as far as time goes, you don't want to try to book something or promote something that's going to require, you know, someone to give you a large amount of time, because they won't do it.
Right, right.
There's too many other things that they could be doing.
Well, and we are in a society where people are used to instant gratification.
Right, right.
Think of microwaves.
Absolutely.
Think of
and the second thing he said to kind of reiterate on that is that he says a big factor now is cost.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the days of some of these events. I mean, and I'm not saying that don't think that I'm saying they're all dead, because I mean, a lot of events obviously you can still get some money for, you know, but just depending upon what you're trying to do, the days of the $50 or $100 for an event, you know, are kind of by the wayside, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I mean, you really want to do stuff more in the $20 to $25 range.
Yes.
You know. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, if you want to.
Some of those prices are outrageous.
Right, if you want to try to get anybody, you know.
Right.
And so that's what he had to change his style for. But that kind of goes, I mean, I'm tying that all together, kind of goes with the Christmas shopping, you know, is that people now are, you know, they're like I say, their buying habits have changed, you know. I mean, they're still getting the larger stuff, but I think, you know, like the mid-priced 20 to 25, you know, you still want to be in that area, you know. I mean, whereas in the past, you know, you could get away with maybe some $5 and $10, you know, but now those are kind of
Well, when I was in school, I think that the limit for, we always had a gift exchange,
yeah,
in elementary,
yeah,
school. I think the limit was something like maybe $1.75 or $1.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine a kid going into the store and trying to find something,
yeah,
for 75 cents or a dollar now?
I'll be honest, before I came here, my family, we're doing a white elephant gift exchange, you know, and they set a $5 limit. I really had had a hard time finding something unique for $5, you know.
And yeah.
So, because I wanted to get something that, you know, would be out of the ordinary, but kind of be useful too, I guess, if I could phrase it that way, for $5. And, you know, obviously you don't want to get like just a gift card or something, you know. So I found something, and I hope it's going to be pretty neat, you know. So we'll see how it goes, but
yeah,
it's a whistling keychain.
Oh, really?
It's supposed to inform you where you've left your keys if you lost your.
Ah.
Takes a little single A battery or whatever the small, right, batteries are. And
wow.
Just a little novelty.
Something I could use sometimes.
Well, I'm hoping my sister gets this. She's notorious for losing her keys.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought this would.
Well, do they have such a thing as a whistling remote? I mean, that's mine. Is losing the remote?
Well, this thing is on. It's a remote, but it's designed for you know, for your keys.
Right? Okay.
But the thing itself has a push button, and it just seemed like one of those little neat novelty items. So I thought for $3, I'll take a,
sure,
chance on it. And,
sure,
know.
I would have grabbed that too. That's a perfect white elephant gift. Well, let's talk a little bit about Christmas movies. What's some of your favorite? What do you like?
Oh. Boy, you know, I'm not really a huge movie fan, but as far as Christmas movies go, the one that I really like, and I haven't seen the whole thing, like I say, I'm just not a movie, is a Christmas Story, the Ralphie and
yes, I like that one.
That's great, man.
Shoot your eye out, kid.
There was a guy that I worked with that absolutely loved that movie. He could quote it verbatim, like, every scene. So he really helped me a lot on that one, as far as, you know, because I knew some of it, but I didn't. And he really enlightened me on basically the movie itself. And so I want to sit down and watch the whole movie. So
it's good. It's good. So. Now, you know, the house where they film, that's in Cleveland.
Cleveland.
And this year, a feature that they have, you know, the big part of the movie is the
leg
shaped
lamp.
Well, they have a giant leg shaped lamp. I think it's a blow up. I'm not sure.
It's on display.
It's on display outside.
Okay. Somebody was saying
last
that.
Year, I guess they had a giant Ralphie in the rabbit.
Suit.
Outfit.
Okay.
Rabbit
right.
suit.
Yeah.
This year they have a giant leg lamp.
Oh,
which
man.
Would be worth driving up there just to see.
Yeah.
And I think that they've remodeled the house back to how it was, how you would have seen it in the movie.
Right.
So it's quite a tourist attraction up there.
Well, the guy I worked with kept quoting the one part where I think it's Ralphie's dad says, instead of fragile, what's he call it?
Fragile.
Fragile.
Yeah.
Fragile.
It must be French.
He loved that part. He would always walk around and say that part.
That is funny, yeah.
Fragile.
I can't see that word anymore without thinking that. So
yeah.
That movie has influenced my life.
Yeah. I see. Is it somewhere around here where I see the palace or something showing it, I think?
I think the palace might be. Not sure
maybe
the date.
Last weekend or something?
Might have been.
Might have been. Yeah, yeah. I often thought something like that would be a neat place maybe to you know, do something. You know, I mean, if you could still get some of those people that were in that movie.
Oh, that would be fun. Yeah.
I just wonder if that'd be kind of neat to... Because it's got to, well, I mean, when was it, 83? Is that when they said the movie came out?
That sounds about right.
Okay, all right. I thought that'd be kind of neat to get some of those people or whatever. Because since, you know, it's coming up on the 30-year anniversary of the movie. And
yeah, maybe with Scott's connection with famous people, maybe he can get some of those folks on.
Yeah.
Get them into Marion. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Christmas itself, though, and I got to kind of, you know, touch on what Scott was saying earlier. It's been weird for me, especially this year, but the last couple of years, I've just really not been in a, I mean,
yeah,
it's really no, I haven't been in the mood. I mean, you know, as far as.
Yeah. Well, you've had some situations in your life that have put you in that position. I understand
right? But
that.
But looking at the forecast like this week, I mean, it's.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? I mean, in the 50s.
Yeah.
On Christmas, although there were, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, I actually mowed the week of Christmas.
I remember. I was telling some people that I remember some people coming into Home Depot where I work, and they had got some outdoor like mulch or something, and it was 64 degrees,
mm-hmm.
like 3 or 4 days before Christmas, and they were mulching. Then the next week, you would have never known it because there was 8 inches of snow.
Right. So I wonder what we're going to be getting in January now. I mean...
Yeah.
We've got to pay for it someplace, I'm sure.
Oh, exactly. Well, I guess from what I'm saying is I would rather get it early and get it out of the way.
Sure.
Than on the back end be.
Right.
That's right. So, you know, as far as December goes, I don't mind cold and that kind of stuff. Get it out of the way early. Because then come like January 31st, I'm ready for a nice...
Well, the way I look at it, we have about 2 more months that we could have some bad weather in. So we're getting there. Spring,
yeah.
Spring is just around the corner, folks. It really is. Not too far.
What's the saying? Spring hopes eternal, or something.
Yes, I've heard that someplace.
So, I'm ready, man. I know that. I don't like cold at all. I don't.
Yeah, they have a. There have been a lot of classic Christmas movies over the years. Another one. Miracle on 34th Street. Have you ever seen that?
One of my mom's favorites. She
okay.
loves that one now. Yeah. She
now,
always...
the remake they made, I think in the 80s maybe, it wasn't quite as good as the original in my mind, but they're both good.
Yeah.
Of course, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, when they took the cartoon characters and made them, you know, real life people.
Yeah.
That's still holding up pretty well. That's a good movie.
One that's, I think, kind of underrated, and I've seen bits and pieces of it and see the whole thing, was the movie with Bill Murray, Scrooged. I thought was pretty good.
You know what? I don't know if I've ever seen that.
That was pretty good, I thought. I mean, just from the little bits and pieces I seen, it was pretty good movie. And, of course, a lot of people associate Die Hard with a
yeah, they
movie,
do.
So,
they do.
Know, so, a lot of times people watch that movie at the holidays and things like that.
And then there's National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Sure.
Oh, I love
sure,
that movie.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet. I got to watch it in the next couple of days.
For about, God, 3 or 4 years in a row, we watched that movie like the day after Thanksgiving. That was like a tradition. Like, we would watch that.
Yeah, that's a fun one.
It kind of put you in the mood, you know, for, and then, you know, I haven't done it in the last, but it was so funny, man. That was a great movie.
Yeah, lots of good ones out there in recent years as well as in the past.
Yeah.
Different renditions of A Christmas Carol.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have been really good. Yeah, some, not quite so good, but that story has...
What about foods and things? Like, what do you... like? Of course, like your traditional hams. I mean, do you do anything unusual?
Until my grandmother passed away, on the Wilson side of the family, we always had to have oyster dressing. And I never figured that out.
My dad makes that. That's great.
And all the folks that like that have since passed on, so we no longer have that, which isn't a bad thing. One that and Scott Spears would argue with me on this one, but one of the best is fruitcake. I've been looking for a fruitcake, and I can't find one. I love fruitcake.
Are you talking like those hard ones, like the Claxton's, or an actual homemade one?
I mean, well, either one.
Okay.
I like the flavor. My mom used to make them,
okay,
and I remember it took several days, and she would somehow use a certain kind of milk, and she would put a
like
towel.
A condensed milk or something? Evaporated milk?
I can't remember what it was.
Okay.
And she would put a towel over it and keep that towel soaked.
Oh,
I don't know.
Okay.
I would like to find out how she made it, but hers were some of the best.
Mm.
But I see that Charlie got some fruitcake. I wish I would have been here to enjoy some of that. But I've just had this urge to eat some fruitcake all season.
Yeah.
And I was in Walmart last night and looking all over, and they didn't have any fruitcake. So if Walmart doesn't have it, I don't know if they're available. So
one thing, and of course, like I say, once again, this has happened here recently, but I talked to a good friend of mine about like 5 years ago, and it still just resonates with me, because we were talking, and at the time, of course, him and his wife were both near retirement age at the time, and they're both, of course, retired now. But I was talking to him, and ironically enough, his name's Terry. I mean,
okay.
And I asked him. I said, Terry, I said, you guys do anything special? You know, your family for Christmas? And he had the greatest, I think, one of the greatest philosophies on, you know, Christmas dinner. And he told me his kids are older now. He had three, and they're all older. So he said by the time they got to his house, he said they'd already been like five places anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, I didn't want to be in there at 6 o'clock at night, me and my wife, you know, making dinner. So he said what we did was, he said, we bought two crock pots. He said we fill one of them up with chicken for chicken sandwiches, one of them up for sloppy joes.
Okay.
He said we set out buns and, you know, a few side items and things, and paper plates, paper.
And
he
if
said,
they're hungry,
he
just
said,
go.
If you come on, if you're hungry, come on
sure
in and eat. He said if not, he said the cleanup's great. He said we have a 90-year-old neighbor down the street. He said we buy her a gift, feed her, send her home, and then he said, you know, and he said, and that's basically about it. He said, by the time the kids and everything get to us, he said, they've already went to in-laws and grandmas and aunt and uncles and, you know, and he said, so we didn't want to be in there making a big mess, you know, at 6 o'clock at night, because they've already had five other things to.
What if there's any leftover, take that crock pot, put it in the fridge, and you got something to eat for the next few days.
That's what he said. He said, you know, he said, we're at that age, you know, and I think he said at the time he's like 67. He was getting ready to retire, and his wife was real close to retirement age, and he said, we got a lot of things that we want to do, you know, and he said, I talked to my son about it, talked to my daughter about it. They said they're fine with it, you know, and he said, so that's the route we chose to go because, you know, and he said, I explained my situation to him. By the time you guys get to us, you've already had five other places you've went to anyway. So,
right.
So he said they were happy with it. But I just thought that was kind of a neat way to, you know, to look at, you know, like you talk about a non-traditional dinner. I guess that's one of the most non-traditional dinners you can get.
But it makes sense.
It sure does. It sure does. And I don't know how many people I've heard say they're going to make like stuffed shells and pasta and, you know, and lasagna some people make. And so I don't think that, I mean, the tradition, I think, always was maybe like a hammer turn, but I don't think you have to actually, you don't have to actually abide by that tradition, obviously. You can, you know, you can prepare what, I think it's really more just of having your family and friends be there and, you know, than actually what you serve.
I mean, oh, certainly. I think that's much more important. It's nice to have traditions, and when families get together, I'm sure in your family you had some traditional foods.
Sure, we did. Yes, yes.
On the other side of the family, my grandma, Robinson,
okay,
always made cornmeal pie. And Terry, it doesn't sound appetizing, but it's sweet, it's delicious, and different people in the family have tried to make it. She was one of those cooks, she didn't have it written down. It was a pinch of this or a dab of that.
My grandma, same way. I never seen her ever use a recipe card, but everything she made was phenomenal. I mean, you could ask her to make anything, and she could make it, but everything was made from scratch. She never, ever, ever... And she always contributed the best stuff to the dinners, man. I mean, one year she made homemade pies that were tremendous. The next year she made, I mean, just everything. But her specialty that we really liked for her to make a lot of times was she would do a couple things. But the one thing that was really good was she made this green bean casserole.
Oh, yeah.
That is really, really, really good. But it's not the traditional recipe that you'll find on like the Campbell's soup or whatever, or the French's onion. It wasn't anything. It was like her own create. But man, was it very, very, very good. And she used to make these biscuits that were just out of this world, man. I mean, it was, everything she did was great.
There is an event in Cardington, in Marion, that's going on. And I'm trying to find the date. Okay, it's through Christmas Day. The Christmas by Candlelight. Have you ever been out there for that?
Is that at the Coliseum? Or?
Yeah, that's out there at the fairgrounds.
Yeah, you drive through and look at the lights. I've heard about that. Yeah, I haven't been there, but...
Drive through the Christmas lights that adorn the many drives throughout the Marion County Fairgrounds. This event brings to life the spirit of the season with a dozen scenes that tell the story of Christmas through many different points of view, including a live nativity. The lights will warm your heart and leave you with a spirit that will last through the Christmas season. And I don't have the admission here. It's per car, but I'm not positive the admission. I think I know what it is, but I won't say because I'm not sure.
Yeah.
The hours are 6 to 9, and that will be going on tonight, tomorrow night, and it says through Christmas, so Christmas night as well. So better get out there and enjoy that before it's over. Every year it's a little bit different.
So isn't there a different scene every year, I think, or something?
Yeah, all the scenes change from year to year.
That's what I thought, yeah. Yeah, I thought somebody had said that.
So it looks like it goes through Christmas Day.
the ones down there in, what is it? Is it like a zoo lights at the?
I was there last weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
At the Columbus Zoo, they run till what, the first of the year?
First or the fifth, maybe. But yeah, they go on past Christmas. Oh, it's just amazing to go down there.
There are a lot of people, I'm sure.
It was so crowded last Saturday that you couldn't get to see most of the animals, but the lights were fantastic. And be listening to, is Charlie on tomorrow?
I'm not sure if he's going to be tomorrow or not.
We may still have some...
limited programming tomorrow. I don't know what it is.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I won't say we have any tickets to give away then, but those through, I think, the first week of January. Parking is $10, and the event itself, I can't tell you. Look online under the Columbus Zoo, and I'm sure you can find that as well. So, it was beautiful, and people all over. It was, but the funnest part was watching the little kids. They just enjoyed it. They loved it.
I think it's an added bonus, and it's even better. You go for the lights, and if the animals happen to be out, because then you get two for, you know, like I said, you get to see the lights and the animals, you know. And a couple years ago, we had our Christmas party there, but. It was one of those years that it was extremely cold and not a lot of animals were out, so we just really more or less seen the lights.
Right.
You know.
Right. Well, and it's worth it to go see the lights. Now, I will have to tell you about something that happened down there. You excuse me. You know my weird sense of humor. We were in the reptile building, and there were geckos. And the geckos were stuck to the glass, and there were people all around me. And I said, switch to Geico and save 15% or more on your car insurance. And this one woman turned around and just started laughing. So that wasn't a Geico commercial, by the way. They have paid for time on here, but my weird sense of humor, those things happen. So
that's good. That's very, very creative. That's good.
So something we talked about at our Christmas party last Thursday, the mood the people are in, the spirit of people, and the way people act around Christmas. Do you think there's a big difference?
I think there's a huge difference. You know, I've seen, like I say, I think it's weird. I mean, you could, to me this year, it just seems like it's not even really supposed to be Christmas time yet.
Right.
But I have noticed people, you know, people do tend to change around Christmas time. You know, I don't know, as far as, I haven't seen many people, I haven't seen many, you know, like Salvation Army bell ringers this year.
I haven't, well, I did see one in Mount Gilead at Kroger. That's the only one I've seen this season.
Yeah. We had one in Delaware at Kroger where I'm at, but I mean, I haven't, it just seemed like they weren't there very long.
Yeah.
Hours wise, I don't know if that's something that the business has told them that they can't be, you know, or if it's something that...
Well, Kroger, I will say, is very good at letting the Salvation Army come and ring their bell. I have rung the bell there at the one in Mount Gilead several times, and it's always fun. And you know that people are generous, they're giving, and that money is going to help people.
Yeah.
And
it stays within the community, is that right?
I mean, that is correct. Yeah, yeah. The money gets shipped in this area, I think, to Cincinnati, but that money is earmarked for your area.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's worth giving to.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a little bit less than a minute, Terry. I'm glad that you sat in today. I don't know what happened to Fred. I will be calling him when I get off here and see what's going on. But I hope you're
sign off. Yeah.
I hope you're well. And Terry, what do you want to tell the people?
I hope everyone has a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And thanks for tuning in to WWGH all year.
And
continue to do so.
Yes, please do.
And WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, sentiments. The place
Merry
for
Christmas.
The holiday season. For legendary actress and star of the hit TV series